We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and
Father,
celebrate
thank you.
Thank
you today for your word. Thank you because you're good. Thank you for the move of the Spirit in our midst. Thank you for your supernatural supply of the Spirit in our midst. Thank you for the spiritual song you've given us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. Now, again, we are gathered to be taught, to be led, to be educated, and to be instructed in your precepts. We receive your word with meekness, and we declare that the truth we hear today will bear them in heart and will bring forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, we're going to conclude our teaching series that Pastor David Ebenezer began this month. This is part 10, I believe, that we captioned Cornerstone and You. And we have looked into several areas, as the case may be. And we began something in first service that I'm going to just, you know, wrap it up. And I spoke about how that as a church, we have a mission. All right? Our coming together is not just for socializing. Jesus didn't die to give us a supernatural relationship for emotional benefit alone. Jesus died to give us a relationship. I hope you know, I've said these numbers without times, all right, or times without numbers, I beg your pardon that, all right. Our relationship, the relationship between us cost Jesus his life, true? Because he says a corn of wheat, except it falls down to the furrows of the soil and dies, it abides alone, all right? But when it dies, it will bring forth harvest of many souls. So we, you and I, we are the harvest of the fruits of his redemption. We are the harvest of resurrection. We are the product, the outcome of resurrection. You know, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gate of Hades, the gate of grave, will not prevail against it. And we saw Jesus prevail against the grave by raising up, or being raised up rather, on the third day. So Jesus gives us a clue there that he died as Jesus, but he rose up as the church. He was referring to himself that the gate of grave will not prevail against him. And he arose on the third day. So that means his resurrection was the proof that we resurrected. And in referring to his resurrection, he refers to the church. So even though he died as a single seed, John 12:24, even though he died as a single seed, he rose up as a cob full of several seeds. That's why Hebrews 2:9 says he's not ashamed to call us brethren, because he died, he tasted death, that he might raise many sons unto glory. So Jesus' appellation changes from the only begotten son in the gospel to firstborn among many brethren in the epistle. Because after his resurrection, Jesus refuses to remain the only begotten son. You and I are now sons, so he is the first begotten of the sons. Come on. So as God's children, we have a supernatural relationship. And that relationship was bettered because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Now that relationship is for a goal. It's for a mission. We are bound together for a mission. As a church, for example, our mission is just a simple extension of Jesus' instruction that we call Great Commission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And we say the word nation in our own explanation says, nation is from the word ethnos, where they get the Greek word ethnicity. It simply means a group of people bound together by a common descriptive parameter. So that means you can have a nation of doctors, a nation of lawyers, a nation of psychologists, a nation of scientists, a nation of lab scientists, a nation of engineers, a nation of doctors, a nation of Ibibios, a nation of Baggies, a nation of Tapas, a nation of Yorubas, whatever you want to call them. As long as they are bound together by a common descriptive parameter, nation of students. So we all belong to different nations. So now God wants us to make disciples of all nations. And the word disciples, all right, the word, when it says go ye therefore and teach, the word teach there is wrongly rendered in King James. The Greek word is not teach. The Greek word is mathetuo. It means to make apprentice. If you give me another translation, you will see it doesn't use the word teach. It says, go in therefore and teach. The word teach there means matetio. It's not didaskia. He used didaskia in verse 20. In verse 20, he says, teaching them. That one is didaskia. That's what I'm doing right now. It means I'm teaching. But the word teach there means to make a apprentice of all nations. That means an apprentice is somebody learning his master's way of doing things. All right. It means to make disciples. It actually means to make students. All right. Darby said, go ye therefore and make disciples. Although teaching is one of the ways you make disciples. All right. But the ultimate goal there is to make disciples of all nations. So that means if you belong to the nation of students, you are supposed to make disciples of all nations. And then we move it further in Paul's service to explain how that it is generally acceptable and accepted even in ecumenical discourses that there are seven major mountain of influences. All right. And we said God wants us to take all those kingdoms. You see, until the kingdom of the earth becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Say loud, amen. So, and then we said it is important for us to know that the aim, the purpose of coming to church is not coming to church in itself. Coming to church is a means to an end, not an end in itself. That means there must be a goal. And the goal is to see to it that we have ultimately a better society. That's the truth. Because we have become God's transforming agents. We transform men from the inside out. They hear the gospel, they believe, we change their character, and then they become better people. So it tells us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. You see? And you have to realize that you cannot actually do so much for God without influence. So I mentioned this sphere of influence towards those that were in first service, all right? And I want to reiterate them again, all right, that we have seven major sphere of influences. Number one is family. Family. Number two is religion. We spoke about family in first service. We said family is the smallest unit of every society. And that if we would extend the reign of God's kingdom, which is the mission of this church, that we will extend the reign of God's kingdom in whole of human endeavor. Family is one of the sphere of influence. That if the family is taken properly care of, because the mishap, the misbehavior we have in the world today are all functions of a dysfunct family structure. So you find a lady who is out there, all right, is into sexual promiscuity, all right, organized sexual trade. Why? Maybe she began out by having a void of a need of being loved. And I told them in first service that, listen, there was a research I read that said if fathers learn to hug their girls, their baby girls, their children, every day, but those ladies' children will grow to be ladies, all right, emotionally balanced. So we found out that if God can trust you, that you would enforce his reign of his kingdom in family, in your family, will give birth and raise wonderful kids. Those wonderful kids will change the society. Because every human being, people into banditry, killing people, all right, stealing, all those things, they are product of a family. A product of a dysfunct family. So it turns out that the home is God's primary institution. By the way, for your information, before God instituted the church, he instituted a home. In fact, a home was God's first institution to prefigure the church. In fact, permit me to use this semantics, that, not semantics, analogy, beg your pardon. Home is John the Baptist. Jesus is the church. I'm talking in parable now. The home was to give us, you see, when in the Garden of Eden, what God first raised was a home. That's why one of the criteria for making anybody a minister in the New Testament was he must be what? He said he must keep home. Why? Because you see, if you keep home, a lot of people are mistaken to assume that Western education is the first school of learning. No, the home is. And the gospel that does not work in marketplace is not gospel. Because we spend very little time in church. So we must infiltrate, all right, and inundate all the sphere of influence with the truth and the precepts of God's word. So that's our assignment. So home, I mean, for example, in Genesis 18 verse 19, if you start from verse 17, Genesis 18 and verse 17, you hear what God said concerning Abraham. I mean, I desire God to be boastful of me in that manner. Look at it. Genesis 18 verse 17, look at what God says about Abraham. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that in which I do? Then verse 18, he says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. Then in verse 19, he makes a powerful statement, I desire God to say of me and of every one of us in this place. Can I say a big amen? Amen. He says, for I know him. Does God know you? He says, I know him. I'm not talking about knowing him in the sense of being born again. He knows his children. Come on, talk to me. But he's talking about a particular knowledge of that he has of Abraham here. You know, there are some children, like in Hebrews, that God said, do not forsake the guarding of yourself as the manner of some people is. So there are some people with such mannerism and they are still his children. But the knowledge God has about them is that they like playing church truancy. So God has a knowledge of them that is negative. Come on. Which is that they play church truancy. But here again, God has another kind of knowledge about Abraham. I like this one. Don't you like this one? He said, for I know him that he will what? He will command. Another translation says, he will train his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Can you see that? Justice and judgment. Equity. Why do we have people who are so selfish in government, stealing billions of naira, while the nation is dilapidating, claiming that there is no money in the system? They are servicing debt and our income is lesser than our money for servicing debt, entering deficits. Why? Poor homes. If the man who stole 109 billion naira from the country, if he was raised well from a home where they teach him selflessness. And see, let me give you an example. It's very simple. As you start raising kids in the house, like in my house, after using your plate, you go and wash it. And if you find anyone there, wash it. If you are coming out of the house, somebody is behind you, open the door, hold it to the next person pass. You teach them that way how to be selfless. You teach them how not to be emotionally attached to the things of this world. You see, so parenting is a sphere of influence. It's one of the seven spheres of influence. And God wants us to penetrate there, inundate there with the truth. And it is easier to raise a child than to repair a man. It's easier. Because, you see, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. There are some of you, till date, you still literally sometimes hear your parents' voice when you want to do what you know they would instruct you not to do. I mean, there are times that I'll be so tired, hungry in the house, and I'll feel like, oh, it's too late, let me just sleep in hunger. And I'll literally hear my mom's voice saying, Orojo Ose Nkankan is a Yoruba word for, and that's very common with my mom. It means laziness does nothing. And I'll hear it with a stain. Have you ever seen your mom stains at you? And then I'll just get up. I'll literally feel as though she's around. Why? Because it has been instilled on us right from childhood. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is so important. Then we spoke about religion. I don't want to overflog that one because very many of you know about that one. And that was the major challenge of the world today. We think we are light in the church, but we are light of the world. That's why there are so many sparks in church. Too many lights. When the outside is dark, we are meant to light up the world. Then we spoke about art in first service. You can get the first service tape. I spoke about art. How that we must influence our entertainment industry. You can see the way my sister made Nigeria proud, right? Sport, entertainment, all right, Toby Amuson. Can see the way she made our country proud. She's my sister. Amen. Can't you see we're bearing the same name? All right. So I mean, so sports, we cannot jettison those things. We have to make sure that every sphere of human endeavor, we influence it. We must bring the kingdom there and establish the kingdom there. Praise God forevermore. And then, so I want to continue with politics. Politics. This is so important. I want to encourage everyone to go to our website and download personal leadership. Part 1 to 3 or 4, right? 1 to 4. After this service, go to our website, cornerstoneglobal.org/message. You see the personal leadership. I spoke there about how it is important to, before we talk about politics, before we talk about governance, let's talk about personal leadership. A lot of people cannot lead themselves. Listen, public leadership is an offshoot of personal leadership. So I explained that in detail. I even gave examples by reading statistics. Like in the case of, and so on and so forth. Just read the, listen to the tape. You'll be blessed. Praise God forevermore. So politics, and stop all this. The church has been deceived. The church in Nigeria has been deceived for many years to call politics dirty game. And I know what they mean. I'm not trying to be insensitive to what they mean by calling it a dirty game. But listen, you can't be so heavenly relevant that you now become earthly irrelevant. If we don't participate in national issues, they will make stupid laws. The best kind of government that has been instituted by man to date is democracy. And it has its own flaws. And one of its flaws is that something doesn't have to be right. You just need popularity to be right. It is true. That is the best kind of government that man can ever create. So we have to manage it. And that is negative. That it has its pros and cons. One of its cons is going to eat back at us if we don't get involved. Because it's a politics of number. Popular opinion. There was a time in this nation where a certain lawmaker was trying to push legislation of 9 years old child marriage. Yerima, that's his name. A father. And you can't blame him because he has given his own children too of that age for marriage. Now, if you have such kind of Yerima, if you have like 50 people that are also Yerimas in the house, Nigeria, do you get what I'm saying? You are in trouble. 9 years, you're supposed to be enjoying his childhood. See, do you know one of the problems of teenagers is they are so focused about the future that they miss the beauty of childhood. It's the same thing with singles. They are so fixated about marry, and until they won't enjoy their childhood, their singleness. I'm not saying you should be 90 before you marry, though. Because another lesson I must tell you is this. Listen to me. This is just, I don't know why the Holy Spirit of God is making me talk around this. Listen to this. You know, I was with somebody yesterday, an elderly man, and I was sharing with him. And I asked him, "You're married for 22 years. What is one thing you wish you did better if you had someone tell you?" And he told me, he said, "Interestingly, it is one thing that I've not even gotten to that age before I got to know that. And I've said it here. If I say it now, many of you will bear witness I've been saying it." He said he wish he started earlier than he did. In fact, if possible, 10 years before he did. I said, "Wow." And that's true. I said that to counter possible extreme position you might want to take the last statement I made about enjoying your singlehood. It does not also mean that you should sit down and start saying, "We," now then they rush us. All right. Stop. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Make A while the sun shines. All right? Don't be as a lady, you're in your 40s, you are still carrying belly, still carrying, pregnancy up and down in your 40s. It's not even healthy. All right? And I'm not saying you should be desperate as well. So you must not, challenges, don't take extremes of messages, just be in the middle. Amen forevermore. Amen. It's so important. All right, so family is so important, politics is so important, and we must participate, because if we don't participate, they will legislate laws that does not favor our faith. Because Nigeria, for instance, is supposedly said to be a secular, because I don't know what is secular about making all the 17 chief of security to be from particular religion and section of the country. I don't know. The most by God kind of government we've ever had. But, according to the book, Constitution, at least, Nigeria is a secular nation. So, we have people with different faiths. That one is true. Different faiths. For your faith to be practiced well, you have to be involved. Because House of Rep, it simply means somebody is repping you. Some of you don't even know your representative. Somebody who is representing you in the national level, you don't know him. You don't even know where he lives. And he's representing you. And he'll be moving laws that will only better his own pockets, not minding the negative impact on your faith. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you must participate. Start with old student association. Involve some of you. University, if you are still in school, is the one of the best opportunities for you to practice local politics. Go for departmental president. Go for... Those are the things I didn't do when I was in school. But in my final year, they made me FYB chairman. I was not even in the meeting. They made me FYB chairman. Praise God forevermore. And I was the FYB chairman. So, as in, they did a raffle, and I even beat the class captain. And the class captain is a very nice guy that has been our class captain from year one to year five. And then they did raffle draw, and everybody, I'm like, now wow. I know my name used to be on the best dressed every session, but, to be FYB chairman, plus I'm a pastor. So they could trust me with their money. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. So get involved. Get involved. Somebody say get involved. Say it again. Say get involved. Get involved. I was talking to my friend 4 days ago. He's in New York. He was telling me, he said, he just wants to make all the money he needs to make here. He's coming back to do politics in Nigeria. I'm like, really? And he's not even a Christian. We grew up as childhood on the same street. My parents, my mom and their mom, their friends. Do you get what I'm saying? The point I want to make is, he has that mindset that he's coming back to the country. You have to have that mindset. You must get involved. Praise God forevermore. Do you know that the countries that we are running to today, most of us are running to, statistics shows that between 2017 and 2022, 10,000 to 15,000 nurses and doctors, health practitioners have left this country to UK alone. And should that surprise you? It was proven that America today, their constitution was formed from the Bible. All the founding fathers were Christians, not just Christians, they were clergymen. And they were picking it. All these representatives, they picked it from all these Genesis, all right, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, all the laws that rule America today. So we can get involved. Let's get involved. Don't be quiet. You see the Muslim ticket they are pushing now. Thank God for the likes of Dogara. Thank God for the, do you get what I'm saying? Who are also there. Listen, if you don't have influence, you can't make much impact for Jesus. You can't.
Give me Matthew 28, verse 19. Let's read it again. Because, I mean, you have to read it again with understanding. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. I'm not hearing you talking. Praise God forevermore. Can we read Matthew 28, verse 18, everybody? Matthew 28, verse 19, beg your pardon. Matthew 28, verse 19, I want you all to read it, everybody. 3, 2, go. Let's read one more time. Go ye therefore and teach them. The word teach, I said, is what? Make disciples of all nations. All nations. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay. So, if he tells us to go make disciples of all nations, then that means we must ensure that we are personally informed on God's system of discipling, the content of discipling. All right. So, in a way to disciple them, we'll be taught in church, because it says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, all right, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. So, the saints are trained for the work of ministry. True? So the work of ministry is outside the four walls of church. It is to reach the spheres of human endeavor that we belong. And interestingly, that is the mission of this church. Because we're talking about Cornerstone and you, because you have to understand what our mission is so that you can know how you fit in. Say loud, amen. Look at Mark 15 in verse 43. You know, Mark 15 and verse 43. Mark 15:43, he says, Joseph of Arimathea, because you see, let me tell you, if you don't have influence, like I said, there is little you can do for Jesus. You may have the will, and you don't have the power. And power is powerful than will. In fact, if you have the power, you just need somebody with a will, you can enforce their will. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor. Someone say counselor. Say it again. This is local politics. An honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Wow, that means he is also a kingdom man. What did he do? He came and went in boldly. Someone say boldly. When Jesus was killed, none of the disciples has enough influence to negotiate with the body of Jesus. I didn't say they were poor, but they didn't have influence. Do you know what is called Golgotha? The place of the skull. Where you have dead bodies smelling. That's where they will have put the body of your master. It was Joseph Arimathea, who is a member of the Jewish counselor. A counselor. He is in the house of Reb. That's why he could negotiate with Pilate. Are you listening to me? If you want to buy a property as a church now, and they say our government is trying to take it, and then we have Senate President as a church member. Come on, talk to me. In a sane climate where politics is properly practiced, to where a president is not a dictator. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You will raise an order. He says, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the name of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved. That means he negotiated. Can you give me another translation? He negotiated for the body of Jesus. Oh. Hallelujah. You see, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent, can you see? A prominent member of the Sanhedrin. A prominent. Who was himself looking forward to the name of God, came and boldly went into Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Can you see that? He
it so important? So, in all this sphere of influence, all right, BBG says request. So it's so important. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So this is so important. So we have spoken about politics. You must be involved. Somebody say you must be involved. Then education. You see, if we don't take part in education, our children will be taught wrong things. What if we are part of those who are in the education board that design the syllabus of the country? Come on. We design the syllabus of the country. For example, the syllabus has changed over the years. For example, the syllabus that they use for us is not what they use for many of you. And it is very evident. Let me give you an instance. Do you know that there are some behavioral pattern that people in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s would have. And those behavioral patterns, good ones, they will be arrogated to certain system of education, certain content of the syllabus. Let me give you an instance. When I was in school, we used Macmillan, right? I don't know if they still use Macmillan now. Do they still use Macmillan? Eh? No, can you imagine? So, in one of our textbooks, I think it was, you know, English language, they used to have textbooks. Then there is one story they told about how that a family, it was a Christmas time, Agbo and Kenny Konsimbi, they want to go to Christmas, they went to buy chicken, and then everybody is doing, you know, preparing, cleaning, then one of them went into the room and sat down, did nothing. So at the end of it, they now showed that, and the title of this thing was like A Happy Home. So in a happy home, it's not everyone that will necessarily be involved. Let me tell you. All right, you can only encourage people. Do you know that even in church, statistics shows that it is usually less than 20% of the congregation that carries the whole body. If you see a big church, like if you go to an entire church and you see 100,000 people show up, everybody, we are dynamite. The people that are helping that man of God, they are not more than just a few bunch. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? But, you know, now God has many children. Amen forevermore. So now that teaches you to say, okay, even though everybody is not showing up, we can only encourage them, we'll still get the job done to make a happy home. Do you understand? So these are simple things that you learn. I mean, how to relate with people, how to greet people. I did Yoruba when I was in school. Yoruba textbook, Onibonwuje. That's the book. All right? They teach you how to greet, how to dobale, how to greet oba, how to... Those are the things... Do you get what I'm saying? So we learned how to relate with people. So we must be part of education. And if you are not careful, for example, now, in the Western world now, they have put in some things, you know, that is alien to our faith. And it's the reason why some Asian country block the Western, I mean, for example, now, in China, you can't do Facebook. You can't do anything. They have their own social network. They have everything. They have their own WhatsApp, not the WhatsApp, because they don't want their people to be, of course, it looks dictatorial, but it has its own pros too. But that tells you something, that the other part of the world are aware of the danger of the Western world already, because there's so much liberty in the Western world, and you know one thing with liberty? Liberty without constraints end up into bondage. Because if you are free and you are free to do anything to kill you, then what is the use of the freedom? Praise God forevermore. So this is so important, so important. We must be involved in education. Help them to design syllabus. There are not many schools. In fact, in Nigeria today, there is no any name. I'm not sure. People just carry name. You hear XYZ Montessori school. You know, the day my wife explained to me the meaning of Montessori, I say, all these schools are scams. Oh. Because my wife is an education enthusiast. I mean, she had her second degree in children's psychology education, and she's planning to do her PhD in that. So I know. So when she explained the meaning of Montessori for me, to me, because me, then, I used to hear XYZ Montessori school, something Montessori school, everybody Montessori. I said, what's the meaning of Montessori? Even schools, so people are sitting on the floor. You see, Montessori. What's the meaning of Montessori? She began to explain to me. She told me that if you want to do a standard Montessori school in Nigeria, the children's pupil school fees will not be less than 1 million naira. When she explained the meaning of Montessori to me, one of the companies, and that's the school she attended when she was small. That's why she's extremely, my wife is brilliant. She's the most brilliant person. Of course, what else do you want me to say? You want me to tell you you're the most brilliant? And I was, you better be careful. All right. And she was telling me how they use sound to teach them. When she finally left the school and moved to another school, she was the head girl in primary school. And it's because she went to a Montessori school where they use sound to teach them. They don't teach them things with abstract concepts. Like, for example, now, you know, schools where she told me that those toys, those equipment, they are not Nigerian made. They have to be imported. In fact, she told me that, she was explaining to me that the word Montessori was a woman's name that started that thing. Her name is Montessori. So she started a kind of school where they use sound. For example, in pronunciation, maybe you want to pronounce abacadabra. So they teach them a, ba, ka, da, ba. So they teach them, they use sound. So when they see a long English word and they are asked to pronounce it, they will use that sound mechanics to pronounce it. So even if they miss it, it will be very little. But the child that does not go to Montessori school will not know. We'll just be looking. I can't pronounce it. But the one that went to Montessori school will be able to. Do you get the point? So we can influence the education system. So in those kind of system, they can put some equipment, they'll tell all the children, no more than 5 in a classroom. Not these ones that you see 50 people in class sitting down, you know, and then you still see Montessori. All right? 5 people can be in a class, and the only thing they will do for that day is to be fixing jigsaw puzzles, you know, carry star, and, you know, take, you know, square pegs into square holes, those kind of things. Those are the ways of training them in a Montessori way. So, in Western world, for example, now they've started putting in some teachings that are crazy. Like, for instance, a child does not know what gender he is until, in their own assumption, until the child is aware. They call it aware. Awareness. What kind of demonic awareness? Can't you see the child is born with labs? There's no this thing. Can't you? I mean, God. So we have to be part of education, because if you are sending your kids to those schools, they will come back and start educating you, the parents. Saying, "Mommy, I am not a man. I am a woman." Say, I gave birth to you. No. I know. I have my own awareness. I have my own consciousness. I have my consciousness. You know, I saw a short video on Instagram of a child. You know, the mom say, "Come." The mom is in Nigeria, of course. You know, Nigerian woman. It's even Igbo. So he carried the pikin. Carried the pikin, the child like this. And show him through the window. And say, "You see, outside there is England. Inside here is Nigeria." Go and sit down. Thank you. Amen. Man was just speaking Igbo, flog the child. He said, "You see outside, he's in England." So he wants to call police. Paul, waiting. Have you watched? Have you watched this Tyler Perry old movie? It's called The Popo. I think it is Medea goes to jail. So Medea came to visit
I've watched all media series. I told you that that's my favorite when I grew up, when I was growing up. That's my, I don't see, it's only media. So he came to visit one of the nephew. The children were butty. I know media now. You know it's Alaperi. He's a man that dressed that way. Then he comes, he says, come, you don't know how to greet. You don't know. You don't know how to greet. He says, come. He says, come. Let me slap nonsense out of your head. He says, now call the popo. He says, call the popo. Popo will be here in 10 minutes. And in the next 9 minutes before popo come, I'll have dealt with you. You call the popo. Amen. So it's so important. You have to be involved in education. Praise God forevermore. I used to know somebody that the parents actually homeschooled the children. Praise God. So, education is so important because our children are involved, so we have to be involved. Then the next one is media. You don't need too much sermon on this one. I mean, for example, now over 2 billion people are on Facebook. And the people of that age range, over 80% are between 14 and 65. So if you remove 14 to 65, what do you remember the population again? So you cannot jettison the importance of media. Some of you now, all right, you can produce content, narratives. It's just that I can't major on minor. If not, I don't know if you know I produce content. Solid ones, I do. Can craft beautiful, you can give narratives. That's why I don't know if you read devotionals, and sometimes I use narratives that are so amazing, right? I mean, it's a creative concept of my mind. Now I'm sort of a sapiophilic person. Praise God. So you have to be involved in media. You have to. It's so important. See, media can make or mar anyone. If media come after you, okay, look at Twitter. If they start out their violence, oh boy. Was it not Twitter they used to impeach? There was one, I mean, of course, it's only that can only happen in America. Amen. Nigeria, you say anything, they will ban the Twitter itself. And somebody will come and lie on the TV, say he's a minister. All right. So, what's that? Focus. So, the point is, you are distracting me. All right. So, the point is, you have to be involved. It's important. You have to be involved. Media is so important. Media is so important. I think we have covered everything, right? Because in first episode, we spoke about family, religion, and then art. Then now we're talking about, lastly, business. Business. Look, whenever my wife comes, she'll come and teach on this. Your business is God's business. So. Listen, we are in business. Look, let me tell you something about Christian. We are Christian, born again. Everything about us to get born again. Everything must be influenced by we must bring divinity out of our humanity to influence all our mundanity. You have to get this. There is no such thing as a secular job. See, religion is only one out of the 7 mountains of influence. We are all preachers. The only thing is that we only have very few pastors, for instance, who are pulpit preachers, every one of us. So your business must reflect the kingdom that you belong. In excellence, and what is excellence? Excellence, let me give you in a very simple English, simply means, doing what you did yesterday better than yesterday, than doing what you did yesterday today better. So that's all. Just improving. You want to start a restaurant? Let's have a taste of excellence there. Praise God forevermore. So you must do your business the kingdom way. There's a kingdom way to do business. Not swindling people. Not giving people poor value of what they are paying for.
All right. For example, now, I don't want to mention name. There was one online, this thing that I ordered for 2019. I told myself, that's the last day I will. I mean, you have you seen the perfect example of what I ordered versus what I saw? I mean, it's so, I mean, and for the same amount for the original. Understand that business for you is not just for profit, it's for impact. Can I be honest with you? Until you see every of your endeavor as a yardstick, I mean, as a pointer or as a way of contacting or reaching the world, you will not do that thing well. Let me tell you. At the end of your sojourn here on earth, you will not be honored in heaven for the business you did. You'll be honored in heaven for the lives you touched through the business. Faith Book of Records. You understand now? So, therefore, because the greatest investment that God has on earth is human capital. You know, when I was meeting my wife's dad, and for the first time, you know, he was just there. He was like, what do you do? I said, well, I have a company, and it's true, I mean, don't I have a company, an agri-tech company that we run. And I said, but that's just by the way. The real thing I do is I'm a pastor. I invest a lot into human capital. And I mean, I'm helping change the mind and then, you know, restructure the mind. So I said, okay. Praise God. I mean, a man just came out from U.S. He wants to marry his daughter. Around saying his pastor, all right. He will ask you, how do you want to feed? Well, he said, I have a company, and I'm a pastor primarily. And, you know, when he wants to start saying, before, I didn't allow him to start asking. I say, I'm into human capital, you know, change people's mind, invest into people's life, you know, make them better persons, you know. I don't have time. Do you get what I'm saying? Praise God. So, human capital. Very important. So, you cannot jettison that. It's so, so, so important. So, you could be doing business, but you have human beings in mind. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not just about the money. See, my relationship with everybody on earth is on three things. I am either in relationship with you. Maybe my relationship is either to impact you, or you impact me, or we fellowship. If it's not any of those, I don't have business with you. And that's primarily what my relationship with every human being. So with unbeliever, is to impact them with eternal life. It might be on the surface of business. But it is not business that I want to. It's not business. Is a springboard for me to launch my spiritual impact that I want to impact. Come on. You know, in 4th Savior, I told them about a very good friend of mine. All right, I mean, she has distinction masters in physical and health education from Mobile Female Law University. She goes to all schools, major schools in Ibadan, in the old Southwest, Lagos, here and there. She can dance. Hey. If Eunice dance for you, I mean, this is an international dancer. So what does she do? She's also a choir in her church. She's a member of choir in her church. So what she does is, I mean, when she goes to those schools, she uses the opportunity to teach those children. So she trains them to dance, all right? Just, you know, dance. You know, dance. And then she, you know, she, at the end of the day, her take home is not the dance. At the end of the day, her take home is the knowledge she has deposited in those children. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. Mm-hmm. So you must have humanity. For example, you are into a business. I mean, I forgot some money in my clothes, and then, you know, the dry cleaner came to me and said he saw the money, came back. I said, oh, wow, that's good. I mean, that's Pastor Paul anyway. He couldn't have stolen my money anyway. So, there was one time like that, I think the director of, deputy director of one department, of I think, entrepreneurship gave Pastor Paul, his Pastor Paul's company to dry clean. I think it's tens of thousands inside. Went to return it. Praise God. And it's not as if he's not drinking Gary that time. You see, but you see, the money is not enough to change. You know, that's why you want to listen to that message, personal leadership. Don't do that. So now, the man is probably not a Christian, he's a Muslim, but he has left an impact that will make him remember Christianity for life. The next time somebody will preach Christianity to him, he will be very open. Another one will preach him, one day will just wake up and say, Jesus is Lord. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it is not the dry cleaning business that he is doing, the dry cleaning company that he outfit that he has, that is the end. It is the life impacted through that dry cleaning. Do you understand? The character, the message passed at the end of the day is what makes... Look, even pastoring, the number one criterion for measuring fulfillment in pastoral ministry is transformed life. If you've been coming to this church, you spend 1 year, and the only thing you learned is, you know, how to, you know, is how to, shake. I mean, there's this girl here, you don't have to come to church, she can, right? She can teach her to dance, right? I mean, she's a professional dancer. You don't have to be in church to learn how to dance. If you say, I was church today, we danced, I mean, you can learn that somewhere else. Do you get what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. I mean, you are a good singer. God give you nice voice. You even chose your own genre of music to be Afrobeat. And you have gone so viral, gone global. You now even live in Paris. You live in Paris. And then the government of a nation that you belong to invite you to come and sing at an inaugural or the unfeeling of changing or privatizing a particular company that is supposed to be taken care of, but they have eaten it, eating all the money. You come there, all right, you know that it is not the money they want to give you you are looking for. You speak truth to power, and then you come to the stage and sing there is fire on the mountain, and then you go. You don't even greet anybody. You see, that's impact. Benny, I didn't call names. Do you understand what I'm saying? You didn't just come there, you even wear black. With black speck, and then you come. You didn't greet anybody, and then you just there is fire. I mean, just sing, pass your message, and you walk out. They let them not pay you the full money. Money is not your problem. They should eat the money. You have passed a message. It's impact. Impact. Praise God forevermore. I have a friend who plays basketball, right? We're not friends anymore. Not that we're even friends before. We're just, you know, there are people called acquaintances. We're the same classmates, everything, but we talk. All right. The dad was a former governor of Plateau State. So we went to the same secondary school and all that. Plays basketball and all that. We used to play basketball together then, but me, I left basketball because I can't be major and the minor. Preaching is my work. See that, that pulpit? That's where I will beat Jesus come. Praise God forevermore. So, I saw one of the posts he put recently that his desire is to end up becoming, training others to be basketballers. Do you understand? So, the end result is not about the money he gets from the basketball he was playing, but that he is able to make, look, even in leadership, if you cannot replicate yourself, your leadership is failure. I mean, if you are leading a group for a long time and your absence is felt, why somebody will be feeling proud? Ah, as I know, the things don't work now. They can't do without me. You see, you be mumu. The proof that you have actually succeeded is when you leave or you are not around or you were on a break, your absence was not felt. I mean, I was away from church and church was going fine. No issues. I didn't come back to start settling fights.
Do you get what I'm saying? I was getting reports daily. And when I came back, the first Sunday I attended, you're right, since school has gone on strike, we've never had first-timers like that. And I was not part of evangelism. You see, that's a proof of leadership. Praise God forevermore. Eh? So you can do business, but, I mean, of all the people that are doing flight outfits that are into aviation industry, you know there's one Igbo guy that does it perfect. Right? Uh-huh. I want to fly now. It's his flight I follow. Although it's expensive now, so I might go back to the road because the flight is expensive. And I pray your PVC is with you.
Yes, sir.
Good. All right. Praise God forevermore. Were you blessed? Were you blessed? So that is cornerstone for you. Cornerstone and you. So this is who we are. These are the things we believe. This is our mission. That's our mission. Our mission is to raise a people that will enforce the reign of God's kingdom in where? All of human endeavor. All this seven sphere of human influence. Family, family, businesses, hearts, politics and governance. Where again? Huh? Education, media, and one other one. Huh? No, we've mentioned family. Let's start again. We've mentioned education. Let's go. Family, education, religion. Okay, religion is what I was missing. Yeah. Religion, arts, business, media, and politics. So these are the seven, mountain of influence. So in whatever area you find yourself, for example, like in the art now, all right, you can be a musician, whatever it is, your heart, your drawing, make sure that you are passing a message. Your end point is that you are impacting a life. All right? You are not out there for the gains, but you want to leave an imprint. Because you don't use people for things. You use things to love people. Do you get what I'm saying? So don't be like all these, quote-unquote, not all of them, sha. Don't be like all these Indians. They don't care whether anything. Their own is just you must produce results. All right? But you see, let it not be about just the product. Let it be about the impact that the product leaves on the end user.
Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.